Welcome back to Duskwall. And as always, thank you for listening. Sorry for sounding a little croaky in this intro. I kind of lost my voice at Gen Con. Which, by the way, losing my voice aside, was absolutely fantastic. It was so wonderful to meet so many awesome people, both current listeners and people who hadn't listened yet. If you are a new listener that I met at Gen Con, welcome! And please go back to episode 1 to start from there if you haven't. This episode is not going to make any sense otherwise. One other announcement. Next month, Tess of RPG Casts and I Am Here has organized a really great event for International Podcast Month. She has gotten together a large group of podcasters who do actual play and audio dramas and had them record a number of special one-shot or mini-dramas for International Podcast Month. Minna and I both participated in one-shot games that will air in September. You can visit internationalpodcastmonth.com for more details, and that link will also be in the show notes. Next, Josie is going to share this month's featured charity.
The Sylvia Rivera Law Project is a collective organization that works to provide legal help to transgender, intersex, and gender nonconforming people, especially those that are low income or people of color. Trans and intersex people, especially queer trans POC, face significant discrimination and difficulty in making sure they are accurately and fairly represented under the law, and the current administration has only increased these risks. The SRLP provides assistance in seeking name and gender form changes and legal representation, as well as advocating for the rights of transgender prisoners. To learn more or make a donation, visit srlp.org.
For our U.S. listeners, you can also visit 5calls.org to find scripts on pressing issues that our representatives need to hear about. And please check to make sure that you are registered to vote, no matter where you live or how certain you are that you're already registered. The upcoming midterm elections are going to be absolutely critical in slowing the tide of hate, bigotry, and harm coming from the Republican Party. Now then, let's get started, shall we? We start off on a close-up of a newspaper article. And beside the headline is a detailed sketch of the Magpie's signature pin. And the headline reads, "Brigands strike embassy and clinic in ongoing campaign of terror," by Anita Argent, staff reporter. The criminal gang known as the Magpies, identified by their distinctive pins left at the scenes of their numerous crimes, have continued to strike terror into the good people of Duskwall. Their theft at the Aruvian Embassy and attempted assassination of Ambassador Alstera Avrathi, reported in this very paper, was apparently only the beginning of their senseless campaign of violence. A mere 9 days ago, shortly before Duskvorn, they infiltrated the research clinic of well-known physicist Dr. Elias Hagen and set off multiple bombs. Two guards were killed in the explosions, another was injured, and dozens of coin worth of valuable medical supplies were stolen. Dr. Hagen believes that this brazen attack will set his research back by months, if not years. Despite their frequent attacks, little is known of the members of this mysterious gang. They are a group of four women, and surviving witnesses describe them as well-armed, well-organized, and astonishingly cruel. They seem to act out of a desire only to cause fear and pain. The Bluecoats and inspectors already possess an extensive case file on the group, but until they are caught, Duskwall remains gripped by the terrifying question, where will the Magpies strike next? And so we zoom out to see the Magpies themselves at their traditional table in the Hound's Paw, huddled around a copy of the Duskwall Daily, where this article is printed. Across the table from you guys, your friends from the North Hook Mirror, the other newspaper in town, Lonnie and Roxanne, who are watching you read this article, looking a little bit amused. And when you look up, Lonnie just gives you this big grin and does this kind of like big showy sign that Roxanne translates as, "Congratulations, you're famous."
Striking terror?
I must say I'm not surprised, but also not what I was hoping for.
Also, this is highly inaccurate. They describe this as organized.
I mean, she's not wrong. She's not wrong in that criticism.
Well, I suppose all press is good press, as the saying goes.
Really?
That's the conventional wisdom I choose to believe at this point.
But, like, people know who we are now. We bought, like, hundreds of those pins, and we can't leave them around anymore.
Why not?
Weren't we trying to have them say our names?
I think this is part of the plan.
Yeah, and the article does not include names or descriptions of you other than you're all women.
Fair.
They seem to be a little light on that point, so...
Yeah, I think the point was for them to get to know the gang as a force. Not sure we wanted to be known as a force of cruelty, but you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with the people that we attacked thinking we're cruel because...
They deserved it?
Well, we're cruel to them, sure, but cruel in general? I don't know.
Lonnie kind of cuts in at that point and sort of nods at Myra and signs her thoughts on this of, the Duskfall Daily is, you know, more or less a paper for the nobility. I mean, the Northhook Mirror isn't exactly aiming at the common masses, but I mean, I think we aim for a little more accuracy in our reporting. We actually came by to see you again because we saw this article. We were wondering if either of these places, the embassy or the clinic, well, first we're assuming that it's accurate that you actually hit either of these places. But if you did, we were wondering if either of them had any connection to the Circle of Flame.
The embassy did. The clinic was somewhat unrelated, but we did find confirmation correspondence between the Circle of Flame and Ambassador Avrathi, as well as a journal that I believe Myra was working on translating.
I've gotten the translations back, but I'd rather not pass the information to you until I've had a little more chance to sort through it. It could be quite dangerous.
Of course. We understand. Would it be all right if... I mean, would the letter be all right to look at?
I'll have it. I'll have it on me.
Okay. Are you going to let them take a look at the letter?
Yes.
Lonnie, like, takes it, and Roxanne leans over her shoulder to read it. And, like, you see their eyes both get really wide. And then Lonnie, like, sets down the letter, and they both start signing at each other rapid fire. Like, Minx, you can pick up every 10th word, maybe.
There's some swearing in there.
Yeah, those you can pick out. But eventually, like, Roxanne kind of turns to the rest of you and says, this is huge. We've been working on putting together, you know, our article, you know, exposing the Circle of Plane and having confirmation that the Aruvian ambassador is involved in things like this. That's huge. Would you be willing to let us borrow this letter?
Is it? I'm asking the group. Do you think it's a good idea to let them have it, or should we give them a copy?
Let's give a copy, I think.
Yes. And it's also probably a bit too early to break the scoop without bringing their wrath down upon the mirror.
This Avrathi person is a dangerous person, and it may not be the best idea until we've had a little more chance to feel out the extent of that danger.
They like, you can kind of see, like, both of them sort of, like, they were really excited, and they both kind of, like, slump a little bit, but Lonnie nods and, you know, like, slides the letter back over and signs, if you can make a copy and bring it to us later on, we'd love to have it. It would be very helpful, but you're right. We'll need a little more information, I think, before we go public with this. But this is very significant. And if you do find anything else, we'd really appreciate it. And Roxanne checks at, like, her coin purse for a second and then shakes her head and adds, whenever you bring the copy by, we can pay you for the information as well.
Ooh, excellent.
I just don't have enough on me right now.
That's okay.
I just bought drinking money.
No stress. We are working towards a common goal, it seems here.
Yes. Well, I think we might go and actually start doing some research of our own into Avrathi. Not as up close and personal as you apparently got, but there's all kinds of things to find in the city records. So
do let us know what you find. I think the more information we all have, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. And so they stand up and say their goodbyes and then kind of detour by the bar and talk to Rigney for a second before heading out. And then after, you know, a few moments after they've left, Rigney comes over with a fresh round of drinks. He's like, they paid for your next round.
Oh.
Aww.
Switches out your empty glasses for a fresh one, and then he heads back to the bar.
I got those translations back. I know we haven't had a chance to meet about it yet.
Oh, of course. Do tell.
So there's quite a bit in the translations. I've put together a summary of what's in there. It's not great. I mean, first of all, Blair, you know that eye of yours?
Mm-hmm.
I think I may know what it is.
Really?
Really?
Three relics, the relics of Kotar. Okay. It seems that these people are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
They're taken from the remains of a sorcerer or a demon, something from before the cataclysm, and mm-hmm. they've been lost for quite a long time. Having all three of them is supposed to give you power.
Ooh.
There is an annotation next to the entry about the Eye of Kotar that says, "Fucking magpies," so I would guess that you did steal that. It seems to be the only one of those objects that they... Are you okay?
I'm just curious. Why do you think it said fucking magpies?
You stole it, didn't you?
Yes. Kind of.
I think they know that we stole it.
Okay.
Great.
No, it's okay. We can fix this. We just have, you know, we have to make sure they don't find it.
By throwing it in the river.
No! I can throw it up in a box and lock it up real good, trust me.
Okay. That's also a good option, as long as we don't take it out anymore.
Although I do believe you stole it from a locked box.
No, but I can lock a really good box.
Is it like a magic lock box?
Yeah. Yeah, I put like protection spells and shit on it.
Can you actually do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did that to hide clothes for my sister.
To hide what from your sister?
Clothes!
I'm glad you're using your magic for noble cause.
Also, I know you've been experimenting with it. Mm-hmm. It might help to know that you can see anything within a mile of your location with it.
Really?
According to their notes, they may be out of date. I don't know.
That's pretty cool.
And it's one of three objects, mm-hmm. the Eye of Kotar, the Hand of Kotar, and the Heart of Kotar. And it's the only one that they had, or that they had a really good lead on.
Right, and the other two are still missing.
The other two are still missing. One of them, there is absolutely no information about where it's located. As for the Hand, there's a couple of city names, and one of those is Duskwall, but there's not... The information is very sketchy. I don't know that it's quite very useful to us just yet. But I'll pass the notes on to you.
So we get all three and then hide them all together, so that way they can't get it.
Or if they do find them, then they get all of them at once.
But they won't.
At this point, throwing them into the ocean sounds like the best plan.
You guys are no fun!
Or just straight up destroying them.
No, we can't destroy it.
As in, we shouldn't, or we literally cannot?
We shouldn't.
I was more worried about, you know, the fact that horrible people could use them for horrible purposes.
That's why we have to get them.
Speaking of people using horrible objects for horrible purposes.
Go on.
There's a relic that worries me a little bit more than any of the Kotar relics. That object I was looking into, the Blood Iron Ring,
mm-hmm.
it seems they're a little bit closer to finding that one, and I don't like what she said about it.
Why's that?
I've told you a lot about what I've found out about it, you know, the fact that it can be used to gain extrasensory perception. Looks like the last person known to have owned it lived in the Lost District and died in the plague that killed it.
Hmm.
They're having trouble getting in there, but they're pretty sure that it is in the Lost District. And after they find the ring, they want to find a way to make more rings. And Okay, I'm going to read the exact quote because I really can't summarize it better than what she says herself. She wrote, "A dozen sacrifices a year and I'll be richer than the Lord Governor."
Absolutely abhorrent.
I feel very uneasy with letting them get a hold of this ring because that's the fact that they... Sorry, I'm having a little bit of trouble speaking about this.
It's okay, I mean it's disturbing.
Indeed.
It's very disturbing, and they're going to do it if they get hold of it, and they're very close to getting hold of it. They just need to find a way into the Lost District.
So...
Do we have a way in?
Yeah, are you saying what I think you're saying?
It seems that their worry is about the Spirit Wardens and the Silver Nails, who are both guarding the Lost District. If we can find a way to convince one of them to let us in, I very much doubt we'll get any traction with the Spirit Wardens, but maybe we can do something with the Silver Nails?
Maybe.
I'll slide in here to tell you guys what you know about the Silver Nails. The Silver Nails are a former mercenary company from Severos. They fought for the Empire in the Unity War against Skovlan. They were a cavalry company. They have horses that are trained to fight ghosts.
Sick! Which,
what?
Right? Sidebar? That's the coolest shit.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's extremely good. The gang's name comes from, they each wear a ring that is a hammered silver nail that they believe protects them from possession.
They're metal as hell.
They are also based in Six Towers. Their headquarters is widely known to be the Mustang, which is an inn and stables up at the north end of the district, basically the opposite side of where you are. You guys haven't ever really crossed paths with them. None of you were really aware that the Silver Nails had an interest in the Lost District, but it makes some sense. They're very adept at fighting ghosts. Mm-hmm. So being able to take over, you know, an area outside the Lightning Barrier that is full of whatever wealth was abandoned by the nobility when plague took the district, you know, that makes sense. What's your plan from here?
Is it perhaps worth at least having a chat with the Silver Nails? See whether we can get their help.
I mean, we could try.
We'd have to come up with something that would benefit them, but I'm sure we could find something.
I mean, I imagine a classic exchange of services might be able to be arranged.
So it's just a matter of finding out what they want.
All right. So you guys gonna set off to the Mustang?
Yep.
So you make your way across Six Towers up to the inn and stables owned by the Silver Nails. And there's a large fenced-in lot where there's a few horses trotting around. And there's a good-sized stable beside the inn, which is a solid three-story building. There are a few Severosi individuals hanging out outside in that kind of, like, fake casual way where, to the average person, they would look like they were just standing around casually, but you all recognize them as, you know, these are guards. But the inn is open. When you head inside, there's kind of a simple lobby that has, there's like a large open archway that leads into a small bar area, and then a couple hallways and that lead off into rooms and stairs heading up. For Six Towers, it's fairly simple furnishing and decor. Six Towers tends to be kind of an area of like faded grandeur. There's a number of other Severosi individuals who you assume are probably part of the gang hanging around. If you guys just kind of like walk in and stand there and look around, eventually somebody will come over from what would be the check-in counter.
Well, I was about to ask if there was one.
Oh, yes, there is. Yeah, if you want to head over there instead.
Yes, I think Minx will look around for that and just sort of head right over there. I do believe I have an inquiry.
Oh, yeah. What can I do for you? It's a younger woman, dark skin, dark hair pulled back in kind of just sort of in like a knot at the back of her neck. And she does have the characteristic silver nail ring on her hand.
Now, presuming this desk does indeed perform its stated purpose, how would we go about making appointments for an exchange of services?
What kind of services?
Those pertaining to transportation in unsafe areas. Unsafe for reasons that your organization might be able to help out with.
She narrows her eyes at you for a second, like, not glaring, but just kind of like, okay, thoughtfully, and then gives you a slow nod and is like, go grab a table in the bar. Somebody will be over in a minute.
Oh, there's a bar. Excellent. We shall be over in a moment.
She nods and watches you head back off.
I figure being blunt here is better than my normal circuitous route.
So you guys head into the bar, grab a table. It's like maybe a quarter full. There's not a ton of people here. After not too terribly long, a minute or two, another Severosi woman comes over. She looks more middle-aged, probably in her late 30s, early 40s, and she is missing her left arm from just below the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And has on her like upper arms and face a number of scars. She comes over, pulls out a chair, sits down, and says, "So, I understand that you all have interest in some kind of deal with us?"
"Yes, may I ask who I'm speaking to?"
"Tuhan. I'm part of the leadership here."
"Wonderful to meet you, Tuhan. My name is Myra Keel. These are my associates."
"Minx. Pleasure."
"Blair."
"Taliesin."
So she, you know, gives you all nods. "So, this is all of our people. You can speak pretty plainly here. What is it exactly that you're interested in?"
"We need to gain entry into the Lost District. There are family treasures there that must be reclaimed, if you understand."
"Mm-hmm."
"And we come to propose that we ply our trade in exchange for you plying yours for entry and exit."
"Huh. And what is it exactly that you do?"
"We are quite adept at infiltration and retrieval."
"Huh. So, you're thieves."
"Indeed."
"That's not exactly where our skills lie, so... Hmm." And she kind of taps her fingers thoughtfully on the table for a minute. "Actually, there might be something. So, the Hive is hosting a black market auction in a couple days. We've had some fallings out with them, so we're no longer on the guest list. But one of the items that's supposedly up for auction is a set of 4 perfectly intact and complete Spirit Warden uniforms."
"Ooh."
"Mm-hmm."
She nods and says, "We would very much like to obtain them. But as I said, we can't get in there without bringing down trouble that we'd rather not deal with on us. However, unless you have some trouble with the Hive, you might be able to get in and help yourself to the goods."
"On the contrary, this sounds as though it'll be rather straightforward."
"Yeah, and you get us those uniforms, and we've managed to establish some passages into the Lost District that the Spirit Wardens don't know about. We've got a bit of a camp there. If you can get us those uniforms, we will get you into the Lost District, and if you survive whatever you're going after, we'll get you back out again."
"Indeed."
"That sounds like a deal."
"All right. You all have a name as a group or something?"
"Not one that you would have heard of."
"It's being workshopped."
"Oh, all right. Well, let me tell you what I know about this auction. Like I said, it's being hosted by the Hive over in Crow's Foot. They've got a warehouse there. It's supposed to be a pretty big showing. I think Lydia from the Crows is going to be there. I know the Wraiths are sending some people. The Billhooks, I think, are sending someone. I haven't heard that Salya Ilmar or one of hers might be putting in an appearance. Apparently the Wraiths are selling a lot of intel."
"Sidebar!
Mm-hmm.
Is that my Salya?"
"Mm-hmm."
"Oh, good!"
"So, yeah, some decently big names, but that means that you lot shouldn't attract much attention. Unfortunately, we don't really have an inn."
"That shouldn't be a problem."
"Wonderful. The auction's being held in 2 days, so you've got a little time to figure out how you're getting in there and prepare."
"Out of character, so is this thing like invitation only? Is that what was established?"
"Yeah."
"Okay."
"You've got to have some kind of invite."
"Excellent."
"Mm-hmm."
"That sounds as though we should, then time is a-wasting, as they say. Thank you for meeting with us."
"Yeah, looks like it'll be a way to solve both of our problems."
"Indeed."
And she nods at you all, holds out a hand to shake. And then you guys want to head on out?
"Yep."
"I'm curious what contacts we have to get us in there."
That was a lot of names that I didn't recognize, out of character at least.
"I wrote them down. It is the Crows, Lydia, the Wraiths, the Billhooks. We probably don't have contacts with them."
"I mean, you know some people in the Billhooks. They're not going to help you get in."
"Mm-hmm."
"You also do have your crew contacts. Don't forget
yes.
about them."
"Mm-hmm. We have a deal broker, Amancio. It's an auction. We might be able to make that happen."
"Mm-hmm."
"And we also have Fitz, a collector."
"He's probably not going to be our best contact, but the deal broker maybe."
"Mm-hmm."
"Or might be able to put us in contact with someone."
"Do you all want to go have a chat with one of your contacts?"
"Yeah, I mean, we might as well. It is a crew contact."
"Okay, so, are you going to go see Amancio or Fitz? Those sounded like your top 2 candidates."
"I think Amancio."
"Mm-hmm."
"So, tell me about Amancio."
"I kind of like the idea of them being a little bit, like, hyperactive." Like, they're kind of constantly in auction mode a little bit.
Okay.
Very fond of colorful cravats.
They have a hobby you wouldn't expect them having. Something that seems very out of character just by looking at them and getting an assumption based on their appearance.
Miniature herb garden.
Oh,
I like that. Okay.
Yes.
So you get to his townhome in Charter Hall and knock on the door. You know, one of his servants greets you, recognizes you, and says, oh, yes, come on in. He's back in the conservatory. Walks you back through the house where sort of attached to the back of the house, clearly a new addition, is a large room, mostly glass, despite the fact there's no sun. But in the middle of the room is a not terribly tall, maybe only 6 or 7 feet, tree that is glowing with a faint light.
Ooh.
That none of you would recognize it because you've never actually seen it, but it is like very faint sunlight. And kind of on shelves and tables around this room are a number of small pots and planters and things that have just a number of small plants and herbs growing. It smells very nice in here. And sort of bent over one of the planters, carefully watering, is a man with sort of like a medium tan skin, dark hair that's starting to gray, that's kind of slicked back. He's wearing glasses and a very nice suit with a bright red and blue silk cravat. The servant like walks you in and clears your throat. It's like, Mr. Amancio, you have guests. And he looks up and does a double take. He's like, oh, my friends. Hello. Wonderful. Oh, come in. Can I get you anything? Tea? Wine?
Oh, tea would be perfect, my dear.
Oh, all right. Let me see. And he like looks around at his plants and is like, ah, yes, this one. And he picks up a plant and hands it to the servant. It's like, 4 leaves per cup. Steep it for 4 minutes and then bring it back. It should be wonderful. So the servant, just kind of looking very accustomed to this order, nods and heads off. And he's like, ah, yes, sit. And there's a bench, like a padded bench that has more planters. And he's like, oh, here. And he like quickly moves the planters. And he's like, sit. What brings you here?
Well, first of all, I'm glad to see your taste has not diminished at all in the time since we last saw you. Impeccable as always.
Of course.
Unfortunately, we do attend on business today, but I see no reason we can't also enjoy the garden.
Oh, yes, I have had a great deal of luck with this new strain. And he picks up a plant and says, well, I suppose it's not actually new, it's actually quite an ancient herb, but it has been quite difficult to get it to grow here. It is called rosemary.
How do you get all of this to grow without sunlight?
Well, that's why I have my radiant energy tree. Cost a fortune, but it produces enough light to grow these small plants. Some of the nobles, of course, have their radiant energy farms where they can grow entire fruit-bearing trees and fruits and vegetables and the like, but this is enough for me.
It's quite impressive.
Thank you. And you will get to taste some of the fruits of my labors as soon as my servant returns with our tea. So, you had mentioned business. What business can I help you with today?
Indeed. There is quite an intriguing auction coming up in the next couple days, and we find ourselves quite regrettably without an invitation, and surely this is a mistake, you understand. You and I are cultured creatures and would much enjoy such an event. We were wondering if there was perhaps some way you might set us on a path to acquiring our misplaced invitation.
Well, let me think. And I think at this point we're going to need some kind of a roll. This could be a group check if you wanted, since you're all here. But yeah, we're going to need some kind of a roll to see what he's got for you.
I regrettably feel like this is consort rather than sway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we might as well do a group action about it.
Okay. Yeah, anybody who wants to take point on that?
I'll volunteer to lead it, even if okay. I don't have the best rating.
So we add a 1 and 2 4s?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so your result is a 4, and Minx is going to take a point of stress.
Mm-hmm.
So he nods a little bit and thinks and is like, oh, is this the auction that the Hive is putting on?
Yes.
Yes, one moment. And he just, like, runs out of the room. And is gone for a lot longer than one moment. Like, his servant comes back with the tea.
What kind of tea is it?
It's not mushroom tea. God, it's gotta be...
Chamomile.
No, I want it to be some kind of herb that you do not typically make tea out of.
Oh.
So not mint either.
No, because he doesn't... He's
basil!
Just...
It's basil tea!
Oh, gross. Okay.
So it's a basil tea. He eventually, shortly after you've been delivered your tea, he comes back with a thick paper-stuffed ledger and, again, like, moves some planters aside so he can set it down and flip it. And he's like, ah, yes. So I was actually sent some invitations for that, but nothing really there that interested me initially. Unfortunately, I only have two invitations.
Ah.
So we get a trench coat.
I like the way you think. But I can give you these two. I'm not going to use them. He hands the two invitations to Myra.
Thank you.
Very welcome. Dare I ask what interests you? Why you want to go?
Oh, just something for a friend.
Kind of pauses for a moment and looks at you and is like, very well. What do you think of the tea? I've never made tea with this particular plant before. How is it?
It's quite...
distinctive.
Aromatic.
Ah, wonderful. I shall serve it to all my guests.
Excellent. I'm sure they will be intrigued by it.
You all say, having taken, like, a sip of tea and then not touched it since.
Oh, I like throw mine into a plant.
We drink mushroom tea. I'm pretty sure Myra's still drinking it.
Oh, God. Okay, so, yeah, the invitations that you have, it is only for two of you, but it has a location, a start time, all of that stuff.
Excellent.
Could we forge two more invitations based on the two that we already have?
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good point.
If that's a study role, I wouldn't mind attempting that, because I have two in study.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've done study for forgery before. Yeah, you could absolutely try to do that.
All right.
If you want, we could even do a group role about it.
Ooh, yeah. I'll lead it. 5.
Good. You take a point of stress for me, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That's all I contributed.
I'll live.
Yeah, I'll say that with that, you are able to come up with two pretty solid forgeries.
I love the idea that Myra and Blair just kind of hunched over a table together for, like,
very carefully
a couple
inking.
Of hours. I feel like it's a social plan with the connection being invitations.
Okay, so social plan, engagement roll.
We roll a run. Bozo's there again.
Well, I did roll a 1.
Hooray! God damn it.
So, on the day and time of the auction, you all show up at the doors. The guards who are there take your invitations. The forgeries get you through. It's no problem. And you head down a very dark flight of stairs into a large, surprisingly well-lit and fairly well-decorated warehouse basement. There's a bar that's been set up. It's obviously not a permanent installation. It's just been set up for this event. There's a number of tables with chairs scattered around. There's a lot of people just sort of mingling already and chatting. There's a string quartet.
Ooh.
Playing near the bar. So there's kind of some light music filling the air. There's a small stage near the front with a podium and a small table where presumably the auction will actually occur. And, you know, you're each able to get a drink, sort of look around the room, hang out for a few minutes. And then, Myra, you feel it first, but all four of you feel it pretty quickly. It gets very cold.
Oh, dear.
Mm.
And Myra, you feel a presence behind you. It's that feeling when somebody, like, that feeling you get when it feels like somebody's standing behind you, the hairs on the back of your neck stands up. And you hear a voice say in your ear, "You've got no charms or contracts to stop me now. I'm going to take what I want." And there's that Red Sash's ghost from the embassy is going to try to possess you, Myra.
Oh,
wait, do I not
shit.
Have my spirit bane charm?
You do, but...
it won't stop them?
The way that I kind of think about spirit bane charms is that it requires, like, some will behind it.
Okay, so what am I rolling? Is it an attune?
I think that this is just going to be like you're resisting a consequence. This ghost got the drop on you and is now trying to possess you.
Well, is it at least resolve?
Yes, it's resolve.
That's so... much better than rolling a tune. 6! I take no stress!
Woo!
Yeah, so tell me how you resist this ghost.
So I think Myra, to some extent, has trained to avoid this, and it's not like it's had to be tested a lot, but I think she's kind of learned to close her mind to intruders, and this ghost did get the drop on her, but I think she quickly gathers herself and just her mind clangs shut like iron doors.
The ghost sort of recoils, but is still there?
Unluckily for you, I have myself to protect myself.
And the ghost, which you can't really, like, unless you're looking into the ghost field, can't see. But you all hear this sort of, like, low, angry hiss. The cold, like, increases a bit, and some of the, like, tablecloths and things start to flutter like there's a breeze.
Oh, dear.
Can I whip on my spirit mask?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can put in your spirit mask and try to attune.
Oh, no. I got ones on both of them.
Oh, no.
Okay, so yeah, you put on the mask and the ghost's attention snaps to you and it goes, fine, then I'll take this one. And the ghost is going to try to possess you.
Oh, great. Okay, what am I rolling?
It's going to be resolve.
Okay, six.
Okay, you also are just like, no.
No, fuck off.
Briar, Myra, what is going on?
Oh, you know, a friend stopped by.
Do I have time to clutch my spirit bane charm?
Yeah, at this point when they say that, like, Manx and Finn, you're both able to be like,
Yep.
I was not expecting to need these just yet.
I think at this point you guys might be starting to draw a little attention from the crowd. Like, people aren't seeing the ghost, but you all are acting distressed and...
Now, if you excuse me, I'm going to go get a drink.
Okay, so Manx, you're just, like, trying to remove yourself from the situation?
Yes. If you see something, say nothing and drink to forget.
All right, Finn, what are you doing?
I'm already leaving. At this point, I'm just backing away from the situation so that I can collect and come at it from a different perspective, maybe?
Okay, that works. Blair, if you're still... Are you still, like, looking through the ghost field at the ghost?
I think at this point I probably have taken my mask off now that I kind of realize that we're drawing attention to ourselves.
Yeah.
Which is I would like to talk to her, but common sense for once outrules.
I think at this point I'm going to have a clock for the guards that are posted down here coming over to investigate. And right now you're at 2 out of 4.
Okay.
I think at this point the ghost kind of lets out a frustrated screech. Fine. If I can't have any of you, then I'll take her, and, like, points at some random person and starts to, like, you can kind of feel the cold moving in that direction. So there is a chance to intervene.
Oh.
You're going to have to, somebody's going to have to do something to...
Oh, can I stop her?
Tell me how you're going to do it.
I'm going to try trapping her in a jar. Blair always carries empty jars with her for this purpose. Yeah, I don't want to see anybody get possessed at this auction. Nope, I got a 5. I rolled a tune.
5?
Yep. I'm going with that.
Okay. So you open the jar, you snap out with the chain that is attached to the jar, it wraps around the ghost, there's another screech, and you haul it into the jar, and you, like, close the lid, wrap the chain back around, and you're like, yes, got it! And you look up, and there's 4 guards heading over.
Oh no.
Manx and Finn, you two are not currently pulling any attention from the guards. You've backed off enough that they're just focusing on Blair and Myra.
Can I whisper to Finn something? Should we go for the old drunken scuffle, draw their attention?
Possibly. I'm wondering if attracting attention is a good thing at this point, because if we get kicked out, then we can't help them. Finn, at least, is going to hang back because there is a job that they need to do here.
Actually, I think what I'd like to do is start socializing a bit and try to gossip and keep the patrons from noticing the situation.
Yeah, go ahead and give me a roll to see how successful you are at that. At this point, the situation has reduced back to risky.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to roll me some sway. I got a 6.
You are able to, like, there's some people who are starting to look, and you kind of, like, come over and just start chatting with them about the auction and the things that are up for sale and that sort of thing. However, there are 4 guards who walk up, and the lead guard kind of walks, like, right up to Blair and is like, what are you doing? Why did you just have a spirit jar out? Was there a spirit here?
Yeah, there was a spirit here. I saw her. She was about to possess someone. I had to do something.
There's a moment of sort of confusion amongst the guards as they look at each other and then look back at you. And then there's a little bit of murmuring, and one of them, like, you hear one of them say, like, she's obviously not a warden.
She just saved one of your patrons. I think you would like to thank her as opposed to whatever else you were trying to do.
Oh, this is an unusual situation.
I understand.
And they kind of, like, one of them looks at the jars. It's contained in there?
Yes, completely.
And there's, like, a little more murmuring amongst them. It's like, can you take it out somewhere and get rid of it? We'd rather not have the...
Now?
We'll let you back in. The auction's not going to start for a bit. You've got your invitation. You'll be allowed back in. But just for the safety of everyone here.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I think a couple of the guards will break off to, like, walk Blair back upstairs. Not in a, like, we're watching you sense.
I think Mara's going to ask if Blair wants her to come with or...
No, this is all right. I got this.
Okay.
So where are you going to go to stash it?
Yeah, no, because I'm not releasing this thing until I get to the Deathlands.
Yeah, they just walk you up to the street and then kind of, like, expect you to walk off somewhere.
I am just going to clip this jar back to my belt and keep it hidden behind my cloak. And just hang on, hope they don't notice, and hang on to it for the rest of the night. Bring it home, and then my next errand to the Deathlands, I'll release it.
Yeah, you're probably going to need to be gone for a little bit, though, to...
Well, yeah, like, I go out for a little walk.
So, jumping back inside, I think Minx is still working the crowd a bit, you know, keeping people from asking too many questions about who just got escorted out by the guards. Myra and Finn, what do you two want to do?
I think we should scout around to see if we can find out where the items are being kept.
Yes, I agree with that.
There's the stage where the auction's going to be held, and then there's a door kind of off to the side near the stage where presumably, like, it makes sense that that's where items would be brought through.
I mean, is there anybody? There's probably people watching the door, right?
Yeah, there's a couple guards on the door.
So we gotta get past them, basically.
Basically, yeah.
We could distract them somehow?
We could flirt with them.
Does Finn actually suggest that in character?
Yeah, very deadpan.
Who would flirt with them?
I don't know. It's usually a plan that works. But, no, I think what we should do is we should at the very least strike up a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And make it seem like something more dangerous and more of a threat is happening elsewhere, or if something more intriguing is happening.
Yeah, I think that's probably our best bet.
Okay. So, yeah, you two make your way over, and the guards there, one of them, she gives you kind of a polite nod and is like, sorry, the auction's going to be starting in about 10 minutes. If you can stay back from the stage, though, you'll need to roll something to get the guards' attention.
I only have one in sway.
Do you want to do a group action? Because if I recall, Finn, you've got
yes,
one in
please.
Sway as well.
Yeah.
I can lead it this time.
Okay.
Hey! I got a 6.
Nice!
That's good, because I got a 2.
So you got a 6, so you're going to be able to lure them away. What do you say to convince them that they should leave their posts?
I do believe I saw a fight brewing over there. I don't know, there were some people speaking in very hushed tones, and...
One of them definitely looked drunk and disorderly.
Yeah.
Can I do a flashback to help out here?
Yes!
Yeah, yeah.
Can the flashback just be, we discussed this beforehand?
Mm-hmm, yeah, and I'll give that, that's an easy enough thing, I'll give that one to you for no stress.
Ooh.
So, yeah, are you gonna start acting drunk and disorderly?
Yes, and I'll deliberately start a political argument with someone. Like, you truly think Severos is in the right here. Just some, like, obscure bullshit thing, and, like, we're getting louder and louder about it.
Okay, yeah, so they look over and I'm just like, oh, damn it, we cannot have this here, not after last time. And they head over and you know, it's like, hey, keep it, calm down, this is a civilized place. You know, and so they kind of just start reprimanding the crowd generally. But the door is there. And open for the two of you.
We are going to slide on through there.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, all of, like, the guards shouting pulls the attention of most of the people in the room, so the two of you just slide on through that door.
Am I back at this point?
I think, yeah, we're going to cut over to as the guards kind of calm down the crowd. And I imagine either Minx or the person she was arguing with has stormed off in a huff. Blair, you come back in with the guards being like, do you know why there was a spirit here? Like, do you think there's going to be more?
No, and also, no. I feel like this is a one-time thing.
I hope so.
Ugh. Try not to stress about it.
Okay. So, yeah, they bring you back in, and you are able to locate Minx.
Who just cannot believe that any civilized person supports the former Aruvian occupation policy.
What did you do just now?
Oh, I was just informing these apparently less polite society folks of proper politics as a means of...
Why would you do... What are we doing?
It's so they could get in the door and pull the guards off.
I don't want to know.
But yes, now I do believe patience shall be our virtue here. We simply need to secure safe passage.
So where are the two of you hanging out right now?
I'm going to be grumpily nursing a drink at the bar.
Yeah, I'll be at the bar.
Like, I'll talk with Blair, but, like, pretend like I've never really fully calmed down, so they have to keep an eye on me.
Yeah, still complaining.
Mm-hmm.
So, Minx, I've got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever met Nerix's employer, the woman who runs the Red Lamp?
Oh, I mean, probably in passing at some point, just, like, seeing her around.
And you would certainly know the name, Madam Teslin. And so there's some murmurs and gasps from the door, and you look over, and a very striking woman with light skin, dark hair cut into, you know, a very fashionable, just about chin-length cut, wearing a beautifully tailored gown and, like, fur stole with jewelry that is, you know, it's simple, but clearly very expensive, accompanied by a pair of very fit and very attractive guards, like private guards, strolls in. And yeah, that's Madam Teslin. That's the woman who owns the brothel where Nerix works.
Oh, geez. Wow. Well, she is quite striking.
And she surveys the room. And then walks over to one of the empty tables. One of her guards pulls out a chair for her, and the other one heads off to the bar and orders a couple drinks, which you're close enough to hear the bartender hands over. It's like, they're on the house.
Really?
Yep.
Huh. Okay. But she doesn't seem to, like, recognize me or anything?
Nah.
Okay.
She sees a lot of people.
Indeed.
You don't stand out in her mind too much, but she is present.
Okay.
And I think with that, because we're getting close to the auction starting, but before the auction starts, we need to determine where the infiltration team is at. So let's cut back over to Myra and Finn. You two have gotten through the door, and this part of the warehouse basement looks like a warehouse basement. There's a lot of shelves and crates and things. Just a lot of storage space down here. There's a lot of stuff. Nothing that immediately jumps out as you as like, ah, the auction items, or, you know, there's not a crate that is labeled Spirit Warden uniforms.
Yeah, I think I'd like to start looking. I think that's probably going to be look more like survey than study, just because I have to kind of look things over very quickly.
Yeah.
Can I push myself here?
You absolutely can.
Okay, let me mark down the stress before I roll.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what's a devil's bargain look like? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, let me think. So, you guys aren't the only ones who've snuck back here.
Oh.
Clave, one of Salia's other kids,
fuck, yes,
is back here.
Definitely.
Okay.
I rolled a 5.
So here's what happens. The two of you set off into this sort of little maze of storage stuff, kind of looking around. It seems to be a lot of random machine parts. There's some, like, dried food stuffs. It's just sort of a hodgepodge of random things. And then towards one of the back walls, there's basically, like, a big caged off area. Goes all the way up to the ceiling, like, big iron cage. And there's a door kind of in the center of the cage with a pair of guards on that as well. And as the two of you are kind of moving up to see, you hear a from behind you and turn to see what does Clave look like?
So I think I kind of imagine her with, like, very pale blonde hair, like, to the point where, like, her eyebrows are a little odd-looking against her skin. Blue eyes. Looks a lot more delicate than she really is.
Okay. So you turn around, and she is, like, clearly in, like, mid-sneak, and the two of you stare at each other. Myra?
I think Myra just goes really stiff, and then she kind of, like, rushes towards Clave and pushes her out of, like, anywhere where anyone would see them.
Finn, do you have a...
Yeah, like, I think it's, like, out of the corner of, like, Myra's in front of me, and then all of a sudden she's, like, moved out of my field of vision, and it's like, Myra?
Back here!
Okay, I'm gonna go over.
Yeah, so you guys are, like, kind of around the side of a shelf, and Clave has, like, shaken your hand off. It's like, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
I'm working.
So am I!
Doing what?
As if that's any of your business.
Hi, I'm curious. Sorry. Nice to meet you, Finn. Am I allowed to introduce myself to this person, Myra?
I don't know if you want to introduce yourself to this person. She's not exactly the kind of person you'd like to know.
Well, I don't want to know half the people I know, so there's that. Who are you?
Clave, Myra and I used to work together until she got too full of herself and ran off.
Not full of myself, and I didn't run off. I went off to start working on my own.
Yeah, and that's turned out pretty good for her.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Excuse me?
What precisely have you accomplished without Salia and the rest of us? Nothing that I've heard of.
You have heard of it, I promise you, if you read the Duskfall Daily.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's really good. Like she said, Duskfall Daily. She created the magpies with me, and that's gone pretty well for her.
And she, like, kind of raises an eyebrow. It's like, that's you.
That's us.
I think Myra pulls a pin from her pocket and flicks it to Clave. My regards to Salia.
She catches it and looks and is like, are you going to get in my way?
No, but you're not going to get in
my way. I won't get in yours. Oh my gosh. They're so in sync right now.
I'm going to, like, put my hand against Clave's chest and, like, push her back until she's against a wall.
Yeah. She lets you do it, but is glaring, and you can tell is kind of, like, shifting her stance. Like, if you push this too far, she is going to strike back.
She can certainly try.
Yeah.
You're going to stay right here, and you're not going to tell a single soul that you saw us.
Well, if I told anyone that I saw you, I'd be revealing that I was back here, too.
Not even to Salia. No one at all is going to know that we were back here.
Or what?
It's going to be pretty hard to talk with what I'm about to do to you. And I'm going to punch her in the throat.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, I'm not even going to make you roll for it. You've got the drop on her hair that you just... Actually, well, no, you know what? I take that back. It's going to be controlled, but she might make enough noise that this could attract some attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to use command with my savage special ability.
Okay, yeah.
And on top of that, I'm going to push myself. 6.
Excellent. Yeah, so you just, like, snap out, punch her in the throat, and she... and is just kind of doing that, like, clutching her throat, coughing silently thing, and is, like, sort of doubled over.
Have fun.
Yeah, she's just kind of still just, like, one hand on the wall to hold herself up, coughing. Yeah, so that's been dealt with.
Bless you, Finn.
But I think at this point, you hear a door slam shut, and then you see a handful of guards kind of come up through the shelves carrying a number of boxes and crates and things in various sizes as the auction is about to begin. Thanks for listening. The Magpies will be back in 2 weeks. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at @magpies_pod. The Magpies podcast is hosted and produced by Rhi. Follow me on Twitter at Rhiannon42. Blair Culhane is played by Kim Kogut. Follow her on Twitter at Kim Deanna Jones. Minx is played by Josie. Follow her on Twitter at DragonGirlJosie. And watch her art streams at picarto.tv/DragonGirlJosie. Myra Keel is played by Minna. Follow her on Twitter at MinaMinar. And Finn Haig is played by Madge. Follow her on Twitter at MadgeQuips. The opening and closing theme music is from Trio for Piano, Violin, and Viola by Kevin McLeod, and is used under a Creative Commons license. The Blades in the Dark roleplay system is the creation of John Harper and is published by Evil Hat Productions.
Oh boy. Listen, Blair is just not always the best person.
I don't think any of these people are the best people, though, so.
We're in Duskwall.
Yeah.
Nobody's the best person.
There's not a lot of best people. Rigney's pretty good.
Yeah.